Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, all with great warranties. Fabulous pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. And a fabulous service department with great technicians to back all of this up at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Time now for the rant of the day, and sometimes it's plural.
I'll tell you what, Steve. I have never seen... Well, let me ask you this. You've called hundreds and thousands of games in your career. Have you ever seen the amount of stupid come out of one particular game as you have with this women's national championship game? Because I certainly haven't.
Sorry about all the stuff afterward?
Yes. During and after the game.
Okay.
I know you don't care about these things, but just have you seen the amount of stupid that has come out of this game as to other games?
Part of... All right. This is what I'm seeing out of it. Number one. People are on for hours at a time doing shows such as these. They feel like there's a need to talk about it, or we have now developed a, quote, click mentality. So if it's like putting out a headline because you want people to click on it, even though the headline is tantalizing but vague. Okay. And so you want people to click on it. And the same thing with these shows. You get out and you do these shows, and they want to provoke a reaction by the audience. And then you get a knucklehead like me that comes on and goes, I could care less. Right? Because I don't think it's relevant. I don't care. I mean, if it's relevant, I care. Right? If it's relevant, I care. In other words, let's say, for example, I'll go back to the Steelers won a playoff game against the Ravens, I think it was, and Le'Veon Bell was hurt. And Le'Veon Bell could not play. I cannot remember the name of the backup running back who played. I can't. And Kevin and I were doing the show. And Kevin's opinion was, hey, they'll be fine. This guy played in the preseason. I liked him. And my point was, hey, Kevin, there's a reason why Le'Veon Bell has as many carries and as many receptions as he does, because they think he's absolutely the best guy, and they don't think the guy behind him is. I said, there's going to be a dramatic drop-off. To me, that's legitimate conversation that determines the winning and losing of a game or the potential winning and losing of a game. Okay? Holding up a hand and going, hey, I got a ring, you don't. Doing like, I don't know, the John Cena, what, you can't see me. Oh, that has nothing to do with winning or losing, so I don't care. But on shows such as these, where you're trying to provoke a reaction. Let's get the audience to call in. Let's get the audience to react. Let's get the audience to, on my Twitter account, on my Instagram account, and how many clicks am I getting? I don't live in that world. I just don't live in that world at all. And I sit there and go, okay, if that's the kind of show you want to do, fine. The show I want to do, and I don't want anybody to think I accomplish this goal every day, because I do not. But the goal I try to go into the show every day is that when the show is over, does the audience know more about a particular topic than it did before? That's my goal going in. Okay? Because I've been so fortunate in my career to be around, you know, where I've sat there and I've listened to Joe Paterno talk repeatedly. I've listened to Bobby Bowden talk because I've interviewed him or talked to him casually. I interviewed Bear Bryant. Okay, I've interviewed Michael Jordan. I've interviewed or been there at a press conference when Dean Smith was talking to the media about how you approach an NCAA tournament. Okay, and all this you pick up over the years and then you pass it on to give the audience a better perspective on how something works or how something doesn't work or what the approach of the greats happens to be and why they are successful at it because of the approach. Mike Krzyzewski, for example, same thing. Right? You know, Jay Wright we've had on the show. And we talked about approach and how you go about it. And that, to me, is the function of what this show should be. It is not about clicks. Hey, say something dramatic, Steve, because it's going to get a click. Talk about Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark. It has nothing to do with winning or losing. I don't care. I mean, it means nothing to me. So, like, okay, fine. I mean, how many points did you score? Okay? I mean, I actually have the ability to look at Caitlin Clark and say, okay, she's great at this, she's great at this, she's great at this, she's great at this, and guess what? She needs to be better here, and she needs to be better here. Okay? She needs to be a better defender, and she has to stop turning the ball over all the time. She only has a 2-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio for the season, which for somebody who's doling out the ball a lot, that's not really a great... I mean, you want to see that be 3-to-1, right? And that's not me being critical. That's me giving analysis of she's a beautiful shooter. Oh, my goodness. What form? Up at the top, the way she releases it, the depth of the shot, great. Sees the court so well the vast majority of the time, is willing to get in there and rebound. No question, because, you know, let's face it, longer shots, longer rebounds. That means your guards have to rebound. But at the same time, like, if you're doing a scouting report, she's circled right away. You want to attack her. She's not a very good defender. Okay, that's fine. And at the same time, she has to stop turning the ball over. You have to be able to at least honestly tell the audience where you're not ripping the icon, but you can honestly say, okay, I love this, 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 this. This needs to be better. That needs to be better. And that, to me, is when the show's over with. Did you give the audience at least something to think about? I'm not into the click mentality. I don't care about it. I don't care. You know, and do you want to come up with the signature call? I'm going to make the signature call. Oh, for goodness sakes. Guess what? Do it in real time. If it's good, they'll love it. If they don't, people remember the team won anyway. Okay? I mean, that's me. I know it doesn't fit with... I don't even know if it fits with the company's... I don't even know if this fits with the company's thought process, but they've never said anything to me about it. But that's just how I've approached it. So, I mean, I know people want to talk about it. Is it good for the women's game that they're talking about it? I suppose so. I mean, that's fine. I mean, they'll get a TV contract out of it, but my analysis of it is very simple. I know let's face it, you know ESPN will bid for it because two ways. They've been great for the NCAA Women's Tournament. Conversely, the NCAA Tournament has been really good for ESPN. So ESPN will bid. My question is, who else? Competition will drive the number up, but who's the competition? Who has room for it? So, does that answer your question?
It does, yes. And I'll tell you this, too. Someone who didn't remember what the score was First Lady Jill Biden, who wanted to bring both Iowa and LSU to the White House. Mm-hmm. And she was there in person. Did you ever remember the score of the game? It was 102-85. Iowa lost badly. The only person that played well was Caitlin Clark, as we've talked about. So not
even the championship game, she only played okay.
Yeah, exactly. So
to be honest with you, she only played okay in the championship game. She was in foul trouble too much.
Yeah, exactly right. So Jill Biden, not only do we have lawmakers on Capitol Hill that don't know how sports work, but now we have a first lady that doesn't know squat about the game itself and knows squat about basketball.
But see, again, I don't get into that stuff. I don't care if Dr. Biden. It doesn't matter to me how many people. Like she can invite all 68 teams to the White House for all I care.
That's what we're headed for.
but I don't care if they do, Matt. It doesn't matter to me. Right? Guess what? The game was over. Okay? Penn State basketball. The last game was over with Texas. Right? It's like, oh, it was crushing. Right? And now you got to go to the airport. You got to come back. And guess what? All right. I've got to start getting ready for football again. Right? And I got to start getting ready on, you know, and it turned out I had to get ready for a new coach for basketball. And now what the future is in building a team. Okay? And that's right. And so I'm going to go to football practice tonight. And then when football practice is over with, I'm going to take the rest of April and into May and get ready for all the games for the upcoming season for football. And then I'm going to transition and get ready for all the games I need to get ready for basketball. And then I've got to do baseball. Right? I do what's in front of me at the time. And if Dr. Biden wants to, if she would like to invite all 362 teams or 363 teams in the White House, that's fine. I don't care. Have a party. Right? I mean, I realize in the end you and I are paying for it. I do understand that part of it. Okay? But I don't worry about stuff that doesn't mean much to me. Okay? Transfer portal means something to me. Okay? Because Penn State has guys in it. They've got to get guys out of it. They have to build a roster out of it. I care about that. Name, image, and likeness. I care about it. Why? Because it determines your ability to put maybe the best product on the field or the floor or the mat. Okay, so I care about it. Player development. I care about that. Matchups in a game. I care about it. All that stuff I care about because to me that's relevant because... But all the side stuff, I don't get into the side stuff. That's why I probably have always been maybe not the greatest talk show host in the face of the earth. Because I don't do the stuff the other people do that drive clicks and, hey, I got to hear what he has to say about this controversial topic today. It's because it's not me. I mean, I've been true to myself. But, I mean, I'm probably not the greatest talk show host on the planet either. But I sure do try to be a really good play-by-play guy.
Well, you do fulfill that.
Like I said, I'm probably not the talk show host people are like going, oh, hey, you know, because I just don't do what the other people do. I mean, will I have fun? I mean, we have fun here. Like, I kid you about the Yankees and Aaron Judge all the time. You know, then I get serious and tell everybody what a great player he is and why, including defensively and, you know, and all that other stuff. But, you know, I mean, you know, let's face it, he, you know, still won't play for America. But, you know, it's okay. It's kind of what helped, you know.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. But that's so I don't get into this stuff. Where are the ESPN headlines? I think I saw them today, and they're like all absurd to me. They were absurd. Let's see. Okay, so first one: X Cards exec accuses owner Bidwell of cheating. Okay, now that's legit. I would read that. White House clarifies woman's invitation. No, that's just a click thing. Nobody cares.
That's key the one I just read from.
Key final four players to enter 2023 WNBA draft. Don't care. Raiders sign quarterback Hoyer. Don't care. He's a career backup. What do I care if he signed with the Raiders? Clark, Reese Flack unfair, White House not for runner-up. Don't care. Not going to read it. Tiger, don't know how many Masters I have left. I would probably read that. I mean, you know, let's face it. Luka won't be shut out if Mavs still have a chance. I'd read that. You know, and then, of course, the tragic story of the high school football player in Kentucky that died of a head injury. All right, you know. But more, half these stories they put out are not legit. There was one looking at next year's top 25. Really? In college basketball. Really? Where was UConn ranked when the season began? They weren't. Right? They weren't ranked when the season began. What did I tell you in the preseason when Penn State wasn't ranked in football?
I'll give it time.
I said it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Okay? That's why I take this attitude. I've done this a long time. You look around and go, you know what? It really doesn't matter. Okay? Just go out, start winning, and everything's going to be fine. I don't know. That maybe I'm too practical. That could be it. I know you want to get into all this stuff, and I just sit there and go, yeah. Because I've done this so long, I know what is actually important and what's not important. How about that? I think I have a really good handle on actually what is important and what's not important. I'll leave it at that. How about that approach?
Fair enough.
Yeah, I think I know what is important and what's not important. And I try to deal with as often as possible, besides having a few laughs here and there. I mean, we have some laughs on the show, so I'm not going to say it's serious the entire time. But I try to talk about what I think is important and what's not important. And invitations to the White House, and that's not important. You know, sometimes things are personal. For example, I'll give you an example. Derek Lively today announced for the NBA draft out of Duke. Well, it's a little more personal. I mean, I've known his mom now for, 30, 35 years, whatever it is, and, you know, and watched, you know, she'd bring Derek around all the time. I'm thrilled for him. He's probably going to be in the 20s. In the NBA draft, which means he's going to get a guaranteed contract out of it. But, like, for example, that's a personal thing. Yeah, I mean, does it have anything to do with Penn State? No. Well, I mean, to a point it does, because Kathy works at Penn State. But I'm thrilled for Derek. And he's going to be an NBA, he'll be in the 20s probably when it comes to the NBA draft. And Derek announced today, Derek Lively, he's going to the NBA draft. Well, I'm mentioning because that's somebody I know. I'm thrilled for him. I'm happy for Kathy. So, I didn't quite get to your rant, though, did I?
No, that was basically it. You know, that Joe Biden doesn't know squat about basketball, and now we need to start inviting, I guess, all 68 teams. Because she thought they played a good game. It was 102-85, Jill. You were there.
It doesn't matter. Okay? It doesn't matter to me that she went to the Super Bowl. That's nice. Okay? She's a big Philadelphia Eagles fan. That's fine. That's nice. She was at the NFC Championship game. Right? But it doesn't matter to me. No, it's like Ryan Seacrest is a big Penn State football fan. Okay, well, that's nice. Wonderful. Okay.
That I actually didn't know. I thought he was a Georgia fan because he's originally from Atlanta.
Yeah, but his dad, I think. Has to do with his dad.
Ah, okay.
And so. But, you know, it's... But see, that stuff's not important to me. And maybe, you know, I think based on the audience and what we get in terms of response all the time, at least you kind of feel people are on board with the show after all the years we've done it. How about that?
No question.
I mean, my approach can't be that bad. But I can't do the show that people want clicks for. I can't do that. I just don't throw stuff out like, hey, we're going to talk about this today because it's easy to get clicks. I feel like I'm cheating the audience at that point because I want to show that when it's over with, did everybody learn a little bit more, whether it was from me or from a guest. Guests are gold. Yeah, if you're wondering how many sports are in the current contract with the women's basketball contract, the total's 24. All right, so what they want to do is separate the women's basketball tournament out and then negotiate for the other 23. The question's going to be is, will there be competition for it, or will ESPN be the sole bidder?
When car repairs get difficult...
Well, I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Open 7 till 4, Monday through Friday. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Still mad at me about my approach to the show, I can tell.
Never.
You want to change the call letters from WKOK to WTMZ.
Oh, definitely not WTMZ.
You in the suit.
Let's not go clicks. That far.
I want clicks. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I'm just trying to make sure people don't click off. All right, so today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf online at sunburymotors.com. A big reason people do not click off is Neil Coulong. Sir, welcome.
It's excellent to hear that. It's funny because I literally just got off a meeting about that same topic. The concept of clicking or not clicking and a variety of different ways to look at it. But if I am somebody that generates clicks and does not leave them on the table, I'm doing my job well. It's good to hear. Thank you.
This is how I approach it. And it doesn't mean you succeed every day or every segment, please. That's not what I'm saying. But you have to have a goal of what you want to do with something. And to me, I want it that when the show is over, did the audience learn more? That's the standard I'm trying for here.
The informative bucket, that works. You put that along with... You define inform, right? Breaking news is information. You know, you are informing an audience that something happened. I think that the sweet spot is that second level of why it happened, why it matters, and what's going to happen next.
Right.
That's where real content lives, in my opinion. All due respect to the fine men and women who work for me. Telling people that this happened is not the challenge. You know, the challenge is being enough of a subject matter expert that you can tell them where it's going. You know, what does this mean? What are we doing with this now? There's a lot of nuance that comes with that. There's a lot of complexity that comes with that. And boiling it down in such a way that what you're really doing is giving a highly educated opinion on something that doesn't seem like it's an opinion. That's the challenge. You know, that takes a pro. And there are a lot of places that demonstrate a high acuity of that, and there are some places that have no clue at all what it means to do that.
Yeah.
I like to think the audience can tell the difference.
So let me get to a couple of players here that are in interesting spots for different reasons. One is Lamar Jackson, no agent, and then Jalen Carter out of Georgia, and Drew Rose announces his agent and says, we're only going to talk to top 10 teams. Okay. Your guy is not exactly on a roll, but that's an interesting approach. What do you think about the two respective approaches of, A, the agent trying to push the name of his guy who has been struggling, and then a quarterback highly sought after who doesn't have an agent who right now is also struggling?
Great question. Let's start with Lamar. I think the idea that an agent, the presence of an agent, and the actions of an agent would have gotten him a deal, I don't think there's a whole lot of scientific merit to that. I'm not sure what the agent would have done to better convince somebody of the market. I think it's perhaps the client and the client's requests that are holding most of this up. I think Lamar Jackson could have signed a long-term extension for a high amount of guaranteed money last year, as well as this year. And I don't think it's even off the table yet that he can't. Like I said before, I'm not sure, though, at the same time that Jackson has failed in any way. Let me rephrase that. He has failed to reach what I feel is an unreachable mark. He wants, if we can fairly say, he is seeking a Deshaun Watson contract or the amount of guaranteed money that Deshaun Watson got. He has failed in that sense to get that as of now. His leverage increases as the draft draws near. So time will tell how that's all going to work out. I don't think he's going to get that, but if the end goal is getting a high-level extension, I don't think he needs an agent to do that. I think he's known that. That's why he doesn't want to pay 3% on what he's going to get through his work. I might argue what he really needs is a marketing agent. The image part of this is really what we're talking about. It's not his success or failure as a player financially or physically. It's what he's looking like to a lot of people that don't have all access to all information of everything that's going on. Time will have to be the ultimate judge of all of this. But if I were betting, I would say right now he's probably going to get a very big contract extension. Whether he failed or not, I guess, remains to be seen, but he won't have to pay that 3%, so there's that. As far as Carter goes, I think it's interesting because in Rosenhaus, he's absolutely thought of this. I'm not introducing anything he doesn't know, but a lot of times if you want to meet with a team that is outside of the top 10 and you're expected to go in the top 10, the idea is that team might be interested in trading off. So is it a fit? Do you want to get to know everybody who's out there? My guess would be it's more damage-related than anything. He's got some questions, I think, and they're making a calculated guess that the more they talk about it, the less beneficial it's going to be for them. And there's some value to that. You know, it's not very dissimilar to the idea that you saw me run this season. I don't need to show you that I'm really fast. You know I'm really fast. I'm not going to put a measurement on it at the combine in a cold environment. I'm not in, you know, I'm in great shape, but I'm not in, you know, week two shape. I don't have the hits on me. Something could pop. I'm going to look bad. I'm not going to take the risk. I don't need to. I can sell them on what I've done. I don't think Carter needs to speak to half the NFL to convince people of this or that or the other thing. He has the ability to control the narrative as much as possible by not speaking to anybody and putting the guys on it that you're not in the top 10, my client's not going to be in the top 10, we're not going to waste our time or yours. What they're really saying is we don't want to speak about this as often as everyone's going to want us to, because we start doing that, then we've got every team coming to want to talk to us.
That's right.
Because they all want to hear about this. The more I talk about it, Rosenhaus knows all those teams are interconnected. You know, they're all completely incestuous. They're going to speak to one another at some level. Information is going to get out. They told this team this. He told this team that. It can only end badly for him doing that. So I think what they're really saying is we are trying to control the damage as much as possible, and we can do this because the market absolutely suggests my client should not be available with the 11th pick in the draft, and he's not going to be. So I don't blame him for that. There is some value to that. If they wanted to address it, I think they just would have, you know, Rosenhaus would have just called a press conference and had him talk about it, you know, issue a statement. They can take care of that part of it if that's what they want to do. But the idea that he's speaking to, I don't know, Washington, who's drafting, what, 16, suggests to 31 other teams in the NFL that he feels his stock is falling. So that's a reflection of what he's hearing from teams now.
Sure.
That lowers his value again. So I don't think he has anything to gain. That's really why he's not doing it. I think Rosenhaus just puts the curtain on it to make it legitimate, which it's reasonable. It's fair, in my opinion. I don't know how he gets past five. You know, I really don't. The guy is an absolute beast of a player. There are some issues in there, but let's be honest here. The biggest cliche in the NFL is they ain't Boy Scouts. You know, a lot of them have issues pertaining to things that happened off the field that aren't very good. Players play, and that's what they're paying them to do. They got enough opportunity to speak to him to figure out if his character is enough for them to invest billions of dollars into with a high draft pick, and they're going to get the play on the field to match that. If they're comfortable with it, they'll do it. And I don't see Pete Carroll not taking him at five.
Right, and that's the thing. The Seahawks and Pete Carroll will do it. I mean, you have to always pick out the personality.
Well, how many times he's done that?
Right. I mean, the personality of, in other words, back in the day, Al Davis and the Raiders, if they were picking five, they do it. Right, because talent trumps all, and that's the way it is with Pete Carroll. Right, talent is the key, and this guy has it. I got to ask you one more that's a little bit different, but it's interesting. That beautiful stadium in Minneapolis, and I've been by it so many times because we stayed at the Marriott like 3-4 blocks away from it. Gorgeous, right? Did you see the numerical projections of how much money they have to keep putting into it every single year?
It's something like $30 million a season, right? Is that it?
Yeah.
You dip into the A section, local politics. There were a lot of things that happened to get that stadium built.
Oh, I know.
And I think what we're seeing is the fine print agreement that basically got the price tag down to the point where people were going to be comfortable enough to vote it through. And we're seeing the price of that now. I would like to point out, personally, as a Twin Cities resident, that I wasn't a constituent when they voted for the stadium, but now I'm
right.
For the renovations that come into it, and it's it's how these things work, and they're, you have to think there's the era of teams really strong-arming communities to get these stadiums built could be at an end now.
Well, this is really why
the NFL is largely, in my opinion anyway, forcing a staunch "I'm not going anywhere" guy like Daniel Snyder to sell the team now, because there's no way in hell they're getting the stadium built in D.C. or anywhere in the surrounding area as long as Daniel Snyder's involved with it, and they know that.
Again, you want to know why? They no longer have the Los Angeles chip.
Yep, exactly. And London chip isn't any stronger than it was 10 years ago. They're not doing that without at least one other team going over there. They don't have ground to move around. And you're not... Minnesota probably has one of the last largely community-built stadiums, taxpayer-funded stadium. Let me rephrase that. That's not correct. The taxpayers are going to pay for it in the long run now. They're not going to pay as much up front. This is how they're going to be able to get these deals done. With politicians, who in some cases have term limits, that want to be able to say they were behind getting the new stadium built in the positive way, and then not be around when the real bill starts to compile. And from what I saw of it, it's something like, 5-10% a year of the total stadium cost for like another 30 years or something like that. So it's like, wow, that's a lot. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity to look at like an itemized list of what they're doing. And you're right, it's a gorgeous stadium. I was at a concert there this summer. It's built for noise, for sure. It's a great experience. Well, you know, my friends who have season tickets all say it's great. I think in some ways it's good for the community. It's just a huge price tag, and one that is going to end up being considerably larger than what people thought they were getting into when they voted for it, 10 years ago, and it was built. 6-7 years ago, something to that effect.
Yeah. 7 years old. Needs, you know, they project
already,
we'll need 200.
Already renovating.
We'll need $280 million in maintenance over the years. Okay.
And here's what I wonder. This is the interesting part of this, because this was a big thing this summer when FIFA doesn't want games played on artificial turf.
That's right.
So the NFL stadiums that wanted to get World Cup action had to convert. Some of them did, some didn't. Some of them have massive problems anyway, like another new controversially built stadium out in New York, New Jersey. They had to replace their entire field because people's limbs kept cracking every time they walked on it. So they had to do something about that.
Sure, that sounds big, but, you know.
Yeah, it's bad for your product. I don't know. You're in the crosshairs of the union literally every week over this. League probably should step in and do something about it, but it kind of makes you wonder how functionally operable is it going to be for them to replace field turf, whatever it's called today, with natural grass, some type of natural surface, and back again for the sake of drawing in big international soccer matches. It's not my money. I can't look at it pro and con, but if you want to be the big destination place like Jerry's World, you're going to want to have that, and that's what he's doing. They've always had a natural in Arizona, and they have the ability to do that. They can, you know, shuffle the stuff in and out, indoor stadium, and have the grass live outside primarily, and have it come inside for game day.
Las Vegas,
not
the same.
Going to be able to do that for obvious reasons, but Minneapolis has a great venue, but they are full. Field turf, and they're not able to put natural grass in. They have a soccer stadium in St. Paul that can't host a World Cup game that is grass, and that's the reason that stadium is there. So those politics, I think, make it more interesting. And the huge Seattle, for example, a huge soccer presence out there, you can see them making that investment and having that make some sense. But a lot of that money, you got to think it's something to do with the ability to draw in international soccer competition.
See, we talk about a wide variety here. So, my friend, you're the best. Appreciate you.
Definitely. Thank you, sir. You guys have a good one.
You bet. Yep. And Neil Coulon joining us on the show. Yeah. So there you go. Well, I mean, that stadium is 7 years old. 7 years old.
Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, but it's an now what they've done, they went through and they did an assessment, like you know, good, whatever. Most of it's fine, but I think the number you're seeing is a projected over the years, like you know, wear and tear. Okay, that's a lot of wear and tear. But when it's 10 degrees in Minneapolis and they're sitting there in a climate control, it's all good at that point. It's all good. All right, we'll come back. Bob Nightingale in the final half hour. And are you out of rants, or?
I do have one more. I do have one other thing that kind of irked me a little bit.
There's the on-air tease of the day here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay.